Welcome this morning to the Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, With Authority. Today's message is based on Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 20, and Mark 1, 21 through 28. But let us open with prayer. Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. For yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. And now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Amen. So turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 18 and starting at verse 15. The Lord your God will rise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the people said to me, What they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among the brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever they will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. So today we will speak of authority. It is a word whose basic meaning has changed from a very solid and specific one into several meanings that people choose to use to support their own purposes. We will try today to discover God's intention through His authority. We first look to the book of Deuteronomy, which was Moses' second telling of the laws required by God to the people prior to their entering into the promised land. This was a refresher for most because all who had witnessed the many great events of the wilderness warnings had died. The present generation relied on the teachings they had heard all secondhand. One of the major concerns the people had was knowing that Moses was very old and all others of his generation had already passed away. What would happen to them when Moses was gone? Who would lead them and keep them in the right way? Now Moses did answer the people in these verses, but like much of Scripture, the truth of the meaning was just a little deeper than they could easily comprehend. It says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet from your midst, from your brethren." The next leader of the people would have the following characteristics. This prophet would be called or raised up by God, not appointed by human or earthly means. And this prophet would come from the people and not be an outsider. And Moses then retells a story of the people at Mount Sinai, here called Horeb, when God revealed himself to the people as fire on the mountaintop and the sound of his voice, and the people were afraid and begged Moses not to allow them to be so exposed to God, for they feared for their lives. And God agreed, and instead promised to send the prophet, a very special holy representative, to act as a liaison to the people. This representative would only speak what God commanded, no personal commentary like so much of what we hear today. And God then makes a clear threat. Anyone who claims to be a prophet of God, but was not sent by God or did not speak what God commanded, that prophet shall die. This goes along with the book of Revelation, where there is a very specific threat to whoever changes the meaning of God's holy word. So what kind of person would deliberately misrepresent the message of God? It would take a fool, someone so self-absorbed and self-interested, and someone who is more influenced by Satan or demonic influences, or another false teacher. So do we have false prophets in this day? Yes, we do. Many of them are very common names we hear regularly. Many of them are pastors or other active church leaders. Again, test all things against Scripture and not just someone on the bestseller list. In case you didn't recognize just who God was promising to Moses, it was Jesus Christ, who fulfilled this promise and has all the characteristics in God's statement. Jesus was without sin. He only spoke on behalf of God and exactly what God desired to be spoken. By listening and obeying what Jesus had taught, be certain that you are obeying the very voice of God. So turning to our New Testament lesson in Mark 1, starting at verse 21 through 28. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. The people were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the regions around Galilee. So from our lesson in Mark, Jesus has begun the process of selecting his disciples, at least four or five at this time, to eventually grow into the 12 in his innermost circle, and upwards of 120 at the time of his crucifixion. The village of Capernaum was to be the base of operations for Jesus through most of his ministry, his FOB on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was also the home of Peter and Andrew, and possibly other of the disciples as well. It was a prosperous fishing village and large for the area. So once Jesus arrives, immediately on the Sabbath, he enters the synagogue and taught. Jesus wasted no time, for time was precious. He goes to the synagogue and he teaches. Now, could just anyone teach in a Jewish synagogue? In every village where there were 10 or more Jewish families, by law, they were required to have a synagogue. Every synagogue had three officers: a synagogue ruler, who had oversight of all activities, a distributor of alms, and a treasurer, and a chazan, who we would call the minister, who was the primary teacher, and also had the responsibilities for storing the sacred scrolls, cleaning the building, blowing the trumpet to call to worship, and teaching the children of the village. There were no schools at this time for children in what we would call the elementary years. So a synagogue was mostly a place of teaching, not so much a place of worship. In a typical Sabbath service, there would be prayer, reading of the scripture, and then exposition of what was read. If ever there was a visitor who had some experience or competence, the synagogue ruler could call on that person to read and teach the scriptures. No specific requirements except to convince the ruler that you had good intentions. Some rabbis traveled widely for this purpose. Now, if you were the ruler of a synagogue and Jesus approached you with those piercing eyes, could you refuse him? Now, remember, Jesus had not yet become a known religious figure. So Jesus reads the scriptures and then teaches his lesson, and the people were amazed, for they have never heard anyone like this before. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, to help understand this, we must attempt to understand the Jewish religion at this time. The scripture was the law from the first five books known as the Torah, and these writings were especially sacred. There were also the writings of the prophets, which put the law in the common everyday language and were a history lesson as well. The scribes were the scholars and students of scripture. They were also the judges of any infraction. Typically, they would use the law to make a decision, but nearly always quoting the teaching of some great scribe or rabbi to solidify their opinion. They seldom used their own opinion of events, but relied on the oral traditions of the scholarly class. While the scribes and Pharisees spent their time living and reducing the Word of God to a list of traditions and rules and regulations that often carried more weight than the scripture was supposedly based on, Jesus did not depend on these, but taught directly from his scriptural knowledge and his association directly with God. Jesus taught with personal authority and not by reading case books to the people. Jesus required no authority beyond himself. And William Barclay says this as, "The terrific positive certainty of Jesus was the very antithesis of the careful quotations of the scribes." In other words, Jesus taught what God had said and not what the rabbi wrote about what God had said. This may sound like a fine line, but when you actually hear it, you will notice, and the people that day did notice. So what does this say to us? Do we depend on the self-help books from the religious section of the bookstore, or do we turn directly to the Bible to learn about God? Some will say the Bible is hard to understand. At times it really is, so we must pray about what God is trying to teach us and rely on the Holy Spirit to open our hearts. We must compare all we read and hear to the Bible and not just simply accept the bestseller's book that tells us. Does it stand the test of truth in Scripture? One of the purposes of a church is that as a church family, we can rely on one another to guide us through the tough or difficult places. And then returning to Mark, there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. So, what is an unclean spirit? Webster defines it as, "Unclean spirit equals a spirit not acceptable to God, a sin-filled or immoral spirit, a demon, in opposition to the Holy Spirit." This can also be used to apply how a person behaves as if with an unclean spirit. We had a discussion some time ago about what is called a Jezebel spirit. Jezebel was the wife of evil King Ahab of Israel, who led the king and people away from the true God to follow her native Baals. She had a rather inglorious end, being eaten by dogs and such, but came to respect, represent anything that leads us away from God, which can, even in today's world, be rightly referred to as a demon or evil spirit. People in the day of Jesus, essentially the entire known world, thought that demons and evil spirits were real. Carl Gustav Adolf von Hermick was a German Lutheran theologist and prominent church historian around the turn of last century, and from his thoughts of the history of the church, he says, "The whole world and the circumambient atmosphere were filled with devils, not merely idolatry, but every phase and form of life was ruled by them. The earth was literally a hell." Now, this is what people believed intensely. Archaeologists have recovered from ancient cemeteries skulls that have been trepanned, which are the drilling of a tiny hole through the skull. And from the ties of this surgery, it was a very delicate process and seems to intend it to allow the spirit or devil a way to leave the person. So did Jesus believe in demons or evil spirits? This is one of those discussions that will have no absolute answer. Modern and intelligent people like us will think it all foolishness. This was simply a way to explain illnesses to a very ignorant and superstitious people. But by AD 340, the early church had established an order of exorcists, and the Roman Catholic Church still has priests assigned to exorcisms. So when Jesus spoke to this evil spirit, was this just a show for the people? The Bible is full of references to evil spirits, devils, and demons. The entire book of Job is a story of the battle with the devil on one side and the restraints imposed by God on the other. There are too many stories of Jesus facing and defeating these demons that this just can't be dismissed. Haven't we stated that the Bible is the inspired and inerrant Word of God? Maybe we just need to open our minds just a little to allow God's Word to speak to us. Maybe Jesus knew he had to convince the man to accept the reality of a spirit before Jesus could actually heal him. We have done this many times with small children to get them to accept what we are telling them. My fear is that if we summarily dismiss evil spirits and demons, it comes all too easy to disregard the presence of Satan in our lives. Just maybe, we are not as smart as we think. Certainly, we are not as smart as God. And then continuing, Mark and Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the unclean spirit convulsed him, cried out with a loud voice, and came out of him. The people were all amazed, and they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine? With what authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him?" The unclean spirits knew who Jesus was, even if the people in the room did not. Jesus refuses to debate with these demons and orders them out of the man, and the spirits leave. Now, priests and other leaders have cast out spirits before this, but usually with some ceremony or ritual. Jesus does it with just his word. So the people are amazed at the authority of Jesus. First, he teaches with great authority. Second, he casts out an evil or unclean spirit with just his word. We have all, at some time, been affected by being the messenger rather than the king in a situation. You go into a meeting and you tell everyone that Bob, your boss, wants something done. The response, ho-hum. And then Bob walks in and says the exact same thing and everyone jumps. So what's the difference? One is a subordinate or assumed authority, while the other is the true authority. One implies the desires of another, while one has the position and power to actually make things happen, or else. Now, Mark masterfully begins the suspense of writing about the conflict of Jesus with the Pharisees and other leaders by the way people received Jesus. These people saw Jesus as genuine, with great gladness, while the religious leaders worked hard to keep the people away from Jesus, to bring the death of Jesus because it was inconvenient to the order of power they had assumed. There are so many leaders in the world today who deliberately attempt to lead people in a knowingly false way to promote themselves. This can be political or religious. There are many who attend the church faithfully, but have little chance of salvation because the message they hear is false. There is but one way to salvation, and that is faithful obedience to Jesus Christ and not the latest theory of worldly men. And Mark continues, he taught them as one having authority. And with authority, he commands the evil spirits. These two verses are separated by just a few words. Raise the banner of hope in the message as Jesus told Mark. The people recognized his authority and did not need to be told that it existed. This was a clear demonstration and not just words. Through Moses, God told us to expect a very special one. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from their brethren and put my words in his mouth. He will speak all that I command him. This promise from God is that the promised one will speak with authority because the words spoken come directly from God. And that is the message of Jesus. That is the lesson we must take to heart today if we desire salvation. God did not hide this message, but proclaimed it boldly and in presence of his people. Now, we must decide to accept this message or chance destruction and the everlasting fire of damnation. Jesus' ministry was one founded in the authority of God and not man. Trust that God intends only the best for you. And in the name of God, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. Go in peace in the knowledge of God's power. Go in confidence in the knowledge of God's strength. Go in joy in the knowledge of God's love. And this all through the authority of God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and Lord, and through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find videos of our messages on the website, and this is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com.
sound that says,